It's flashback week on Hysteria 51. Monday through Friday this week the Meat Sacks are releasing one of their favorite past episodes of the show. On Friday there will be a post where you can vote for your favorite episode of the week. One person who voted will be picked at random for a prize pack, so make sure to hop on Hysteria Nation if you like crap from shitty podcasts. I hope you lose.
And now, on with the show.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't do a ton of photo shoots. But when we do, they're in the UK and they generally involve a spaceman. This is Hysteria 51. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we are your hosts and captains on this journey to the stars. I'm John Goforth, and this is Brent Hand.
Thanks, John. I am excited for today's episode. It's all about a single photograph, and I like to think of myself as a bit of a photography buff, if I do say so myself.
As long as we don't have to see a photo of you in the buff, I'm good.
Have to or want to? I mean, maybe we should take a poll. Hysteria Nation.
I mean, you guys do live together. Anyway, that other voice you are hearing is the third host of this show and the only one with a camera actually built into his body. Ugh. Which I got to say, I mean, you know, as far as upgrades go, I'm a little jealous of. He is the one, the only conspiracy bot.
Jealousy is understandable in any context when you speak to me. Would you like to kiss my pincer?
No. Nobody wants to kiss any part of you. See, I built C-Bot in my lab to help write and produce the show, and instead he drinks all day and occasionally takes nude photos of himself as a robot. However, that works.
And I say, by the way, I'm jealous. Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, the future where we all get augmentation of some type, like the $6 million man, but, you know, real.
I don't want any of his like augmentation. I just want the sound when he did stuff. Brent, what are you doing? I'm peeing, baby.
Don't you every now and then, though, like, forget that you're not on a device and you're like watching a movie just on TV or something, and you're like, can I capture the screen here and search who that actor is? Oh wait, no, these are my eyes. It doesn't work that way.
My wife and I have found the ultimate use for Alexa is, Alexa, how tall is insert person? Like, that is what, for whatever reason, that is the thing that we care about more than anything in the world.
We do the same thing with how old they are.
Yeah, well, that's the next one. That's always the follow. Then it always says, would you like to know their worth or their net worth or whatever? And 99% of the time it's no. But every once in a while I'd be like, yeah, sure, hit me with it.
Oh, I hate those random questions. It's like, oh, you asked what the ingredients in McDonald's french fries are. Would you like to know the average temperature in the Amazon? What? What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, all right. Here's the thing. We were talking about C-Bot. Mm-hmm. Taking nudes of himself. Mm-hmm. I do think that it doesn't actually come across as creepy as it sounds. It would if we did it, but most of the time folks he DMs those pictures to right back, and they're just curious what's wrong with the 90s computer, you know, the 486, and why there's a toaster on top.
Well, and he did also send his butthole to the entire world at one point in time, so
yeah. Which again, they no one knew what that was,
right?
Lies, all lies. The moment I slide on into your DMs is a religious experience.
If by religious you mean they scream, oh God, no. Yeah, I suppose that's exactly what it means. By the way, where's Kyle, guys? I haven't heard or seen him at all.
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't seen him since we got back from our little trip to the
cheese muffins.
Ask and you shall receive.
That other robot voice you're hearing, who apparently comes loaded with a laugh track now, is Conspiracy Bot's robot creation slash minion, Kyle.
He also makes a hella cup of joe.
That's actually true. But Kyle, where'd the laugh track come from?
What's a laugh track? Track? Do you mean my friends I take with me? They think I'm so funny. Funny? Looking funny. Farts are funny. You're a fart smeller. I'm a smart feller.
C-Bot, I feel like you had something to do with this.
We all need friends. I just installed his from bad 90s sitcoms.
That tracks. It does. Anyway, Brent, we're talking about a photograph tonight, so I thought it might be a good time to talk through our favorite photos related to space. When I say favorite, I mean, you know, there's always classic photos that you know, the photos over the ages of, you know, there's the one on Victory Day after World War II of the sailor
kissing the nurse.
Woman. Yeah. Yeah, the nurse and so many other just kind of there's also awful photos like the, you know, the monk that burned himself alive in protest. And, but specifically I'm asking here what your favorite photo is, that's kind of come from space.
I'm going to not say one, but just any of all the fake photos of Earth where they show it from space. Cause one, we can't go to space. Two, it always shows it as a ball or a globe, which we all know is fake. So they put a lot of, and they're all composites. So they put a lot of time, effort, and literal man hours into faking those photos. So I got to give some shout outs to those.
That is one of my favorite flat earth arguments.
Yeah.
you talk about they literally say it was photoshopped or CG'd in the 60s. And you say, well, how was that done? And it's just like, well, you
I'll tell you how. Satan. You start saying that and then they go, you know. So.
But it's also, it's the explanation for everything that we can't understand. It's like, well, the government has technology that is just years ahead of your knowledge.
Well, guess what?
Okay.
Perfect segue right there to my actual favorite, because you said technology and things we just can't understand. I think my favorite space photo is the one where they took the Hubble and they pointed it at the what they thought was the darkest point in space with no light. And they let it sit for I don't know how long. And there's literally like millions of galaxies that they're just like, oh, okay, cool.
That is different. Yeah. There's another really famous Hubble photo, the Pillars of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was, I think that it like light years big and it's like the beginning of a star system forming or something.
I also really like the one that is the Horsehead Nebula. I like that photo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Is it funny you know what I'm talking about? And these aren't things like you go out. They're just so famous.
I was about to say, I don't think from doing this show for, God, what feels like an eternity, but is probably more like 3.5 years, I know of that. I think I just know of that from being
society. Exactly. Do you have one?
Do I have a favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little closer to home, still further away from home. I like the man on the moon photo, like just the classic. You know, you can see the
John,
photo taker.
John. That was a smudge. That was just a smudge. And you've ruined enough lives because of it. So everyone's like, "What are you talking about? Go watch Rick and Morty. You'll get it." And Mr. Luna was a petter ass. I'm just saying.
Was a petter ass. He was.
No, sorry, the man on the moon. Yeah.
Well, no, they had just gotten to the moon, and you know you can see his reflection in the visor of the other guy.
Yeah, mankind, and then they argue over what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
I don't know. I just think that photo is so what's the word I'm looking
fake.
For?
Staged.
That's the exact word. All right, enough of this crap, Brent. Let's get to the photo of the day. The Solway Firth photograph. The Solway Firth spaceman in a photograph.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, man, you were spot on with your last one or your pick, which was the spaceman in a picture, because that's what we're talking about. Like you said, it's got a lot of names.
Hey, you pricks didn't ask me my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what's your favorite?
The Hindenburg disaster pick.
That's not even in space. It's literally not. I mean,
I don't even know why I'm laughing at that.
Close enough and Meat Sacks died. Win-win.
Is it? I guess enough time has went by that we could just let him say that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm too soon. I don't know. Anyway, unplug him or something.
Yeah, right.
All right, so Back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, so we're talking about a spaceman, and every good alien, time traveler, or interdimensional being story starts with a walk. All the good ones, at least.
Or a death. Don't forget stories that begin with a death.
I think I'm going to actually unplug him, like you said.
Literally do it, yeah.
So this week is exciting, John, because we're talking about one of literally the most scrutinized Fortean photos of the last half century. And if you want to look it up, the most common name is the Solway Firth Spaceman. It's also been called the Solway Spaceman, the Cumberland Spaceman. And what the hell is that?
Yes, yeah, I think that's the most common.
It's also part of this week's art for the episode, and if you go to our website, you can look it up, or probably wherever you're listening to this, you can get a pretty good idea of what's going on. But what is it, John?
Yeah, if you're not familiar, it's ostensibly the picture taker's daughter out on a nice walk with the family. She's posing with wildflowers. It's actually sweet, or at least that portion of it is.
It's sweet if you don't look past that.
Don't look past that. Yeah. If you look a little closer, or you actually don't have to look close at all, you'll notice another figure in the background. It's a figure that appears to be, at face value, a spaceman of some type, or at least what we would understand, a humanoid figure in a getup reminiscent of a sci-fi astronaut suit.
Right. Or a realistic astronaut suit. I mean,
Yeah. I guess it was just a little less bulky than what astronaut suits were of the day.
It's pronounced SpaceX. And they wear them less bulky now.
It's true. And also the figure in the photo, the photographer claims, wasn't there when he took the picture.
Or was invisible. Was invisible, maybe.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. We'll get there, and we're going to explain all that. But let's first go over the Gophopedia, the backstory on how this happened, before we kind of break down what it could or couldn't be, and if this is a spaceman or interdimensional traveler, or, a smudge on the camera lens like Mr. Morty saw. So,
and don't forget, Gophopedia.com will get you directly to Hysteria51.com still. I know, because I just paid the renewal fee.
So this story starts with Jen Templeton, and he's a fireman in Carlisle, England. The year 1964. And if you remember back, the world was in color then. We had made the black and white to color switch by then on Earth. So that was good. And Jim decides to take his family for a walk and test out his new Kodak camera that was also in colors.
He loved the nice bright colors, the greens of summer.
No Kodachrome.
Stop it. I do find it interesting. This story, if I didn't know better, would feel like a viral marketing campaign for Kodak, because man, no matter what research you do and which story you read, they mention the name Kodak about 1500 times in each one of them.
And you're going to get the part where Kodak's like, fuck you, prove us wrong, I'll pay you. Come at me.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro.
Then it turns into a contest. Yeah. And we'll get there.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's talk about where they go.
Yeah. So they head over to an area called Berg Marsh, and they get to posing. Is that Berg? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, at least I believe it is. Yes.
No, I said Berg Marsh. You guys know that we pronounced stuff like shit. So if we are wrong, you can let us know. But
yeah, part of British listeners, chime in. I'm sure you will. Yeah. You always do.
And there are three of them going. It's Jim, his 5-year-old daughter Elizabeth, who is in the foreground of said photo, and his wife Annie. And once they get to the marsh, Jim notes that there are, as he said, two retirees in their car. And that's not,
I think his exact quote was two pensioners. I guess that's what they call retirees in the UK. And that's, and it's important to note that what this is obviously pointing to is who could have been in the shot.
Right.
And what he's saying is a couple old people in their car. That's it. No one else around.
No one else was there. They were there for a long time, so they knew who was in and out. And for all of you that are kind of going, what? Like, Berg Marsh is sort of overlooks the Solway Firth in Cambria. That's where it gets his name. And if you are not from the UK or other areas, a firth is what the British call, I guess you would call it like a fjord or a water inlet. So the Solway Firth is a firth that forms part of the border between England and Scotland, and it's also part of the Irish Sea. And, we would call those, like, inlets here? Is that what we would call it?
I mean, call them water, and like, it's kind of like one of those, it's one of those colloquialisms that we probably would call it something different in different parts of the States as well. Just like, I mean, it's not
a
like,
sound. It's not a, you know, it's not a river.
I, the closest thing I could in research was a fjord. That's what everyone seems to agree. So it's like a fjord.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me a lot of Hjörgen Kjørgen from the Fjörgen Fjord outside of Mjørgen. Thank you. What was that? We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Bill and her.
Wayne's World?
Wayne's World. God! I took my dum-dum pills this morning. I just lost my Chicago street cred from.
Seriously. Never step foot in Aurora again.
Right? No shit. Anyway, now they kind of get an idea of the setting.
So you know where we are. And Jim and his family are having a lovely day on the marsh when Jim suggests to his daughter that she gather up some wildflowers and pose for a few pictures so he can test out that new Kodak.
Why don't you run around and gather up some flowers over there while your mom and I have a conversation? Don't look over here. You're going to hear some noises. We're just working with a new camera.
That didn't happen.
You read that didn't happen. You were on a different Angel Fire site than I. That's all.
That's true. But according to Jim, he did take three pictures of Elizabeth.
That's funny that you say that, too, because think about that. He took three photos because they're taking him on actual camera. Now we would take 3,600 photos and then never go look at them again.
Oh, my God. My wife was going through my photos the other day in my phone, which is always a disquieting experience. You're like, what did I leave in there? from a number of years ago, looking for a specific photograph. And she goes, oh my God, in 2016, you only took 257 photographs. And I'm like, well, that seems excessive. But her point was that seems like such a small amount. I mean, that's right. Can you imagine having taken 250 pictures, in the 80s?
Right. Yeah.
Just developing cost.
Well, that's the point. Like, he only did three of them. And remember, this is the 60s, 64 specifically. So you don't get to see these photos instantaneously, and very much not instantaneously, because they probably weren't even going to 1 hours. And I don't know when that became a thing. I might be talking out of my ass there.
They also didn't have electricity yet. Don't look that up.
that's
part of the black and white color switch. I think that's when we got it. So he's wrong.
But what is true is it could take a week to get pictures developed. So it takes a week
when we were in college. Remember that? If you didn't.
No, that's true.
Take it.
Yeah. At Walgreens. The next week, Jim heads over to a photo developer, affectionately referred to as a chemist in the UK, by the way, Brent.
Wow, that's weird.
And he takes a look, and this is the part of the story that hits the proverbial record scratch.
Yeah. So the chemist points out to Jim that someone or something ruined what he believed to be the best shot of all the bunch. And he's like, there's a spaceman in the background. And I like to think to myself that Jim immediately said, what the fuck are you doing looking at my pics? There could be dick pics in there, Nigel or Sebastian or whatever British sounding name he went by.
But alas, dear listener, there were no dick pics, but instead a spaceman in the picture.
Yeah, or so it seems. So Jim, not being one to just go, nah, it's just a spaceman. He took it to the police in Carlisle, who declared that there was nothing out of the ordinary. he's like, we see space meeting photographs all the time. That's for true. Now off with you before I bop you in the seventh entrance. That was my actually, let me redo that. We see space meeting photographs all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you from Shire?
Thank you. That get to the real accent. And by the way, I mean, I just want to stop there for a second. I know that we've covered a lot of topics over the years where authorities have not exactly been as reactive as they should have been to the story they were presented. But what the fuck do you do if somebody brings in a photo and says, look, this guy photobombed me?
Yeah. So before the word photobomb was ever a thing in my vocabulary, we called it Cusacking, because I can't remember if it was One Crazy Summer or what it was. Anyway, he wants to get a picture with a girl, so he's like walking behind her and they're taking photos, and he'll like jump up behind her and photobomb her. And I was like, so we called it Cusacking. I actually still like that term better than photobombing, but that's
just... I do too, actually. I do too. We'll try to adopt it here on Hysteria 51. and if you didn't listen to this episode, boy, you're going to be confused.
And I also have a buddy who got in a fist fight with John Cusack, so that's fun, but that's a different story. So.
A buddy, quote unquote. So the cops didn't help, but Jim was not done. He decided to go to the experts.
Yeah, literally the experts.
The experts.
Kodak.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And they said that, but now what Kodak took him more seriously, but they did confirm it was not altered in any way. And then they put their money where their mouth was. They offered a reward to anyone who could prove the photo was faked. It was never claimed.
The reward was free film for a year. I need some of that sweet, sweet cheddar.
Why do you need free film? I mean, who even uses film nowadays? Well, wait a second. It's flammable, isn't it?
Don't worry, you're exact opposite of a pretty little head with it.
That checks out. Anyway, so this set
it tracks.
Off, literally, though, this set off this big media frenzy and even a potential visit from the Men in Black. And could it be tied to the 9/11 tragedy? We'll explain all of that now. We're going to talk about all that next. I don't know if we're going to explain it, but we are going to mention those things. Coming up on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so... It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to my and Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria today.
John, like all good mysteries, yes, this one deepens.
It does.
I tend to.
So we've got an intergalactic photobomb on our hands. But no clue.
You stop. We've got an intergalactic Cusacking that just went on.
We've got an intergalactic Cusacking on our hands, but no clue as to who is in the picture or what is really happening.
Or interdimensional. Don't pigeonhole the guy. Poor girl.
Well, man, look at him. He's covering all the bases. He's being inclusive.
Yeah, I don't know. What's happening right now?
But just because of all that being said, that didn't stop the ensuing media frenzy that we talked about. The local paper, the Cumberland News Picayune, it wasn't a Picayune, but they did pick up the story, as did the Daily Mail and the Express. The Express, that's a fine periodical. I'll say that myself. they talk about podcasts that are just tasty shows, John, don't you think so?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, if you want a good example of that, I would just maybe Google the Express and Hysteria 51, see what that got you.
So anyway, as a result of the media attention from just the local stuff, Jim started getting letters from people everywhere, and like people like to do, they give their take on who or what was in the photo. And some folks thought that maybe his daughter had some sort of psychic abilities, because that is the logical jump when you see something like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
In fact, a local professor from a private school was consulted, and Chuck said, nope, she's just a normie.
I think that was an X-Men joke, John.
He's all over the map today.
I'm not saying it was a good one, but I think it was an X-Men joke.
So Brent, the same time that this is going on, the story also takes on a life of its own in the media, not just locally, as you mentioned, but worldwide.
Right.
And a bunch of other suggestions came in, like there might have been a spirit in the photograph.
Spirit photography. Hey, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Firing
but
all
then,
cylinders.
The most interesting one of the time comes in, and it's from, let's call him, the Australian.
Yeah. He probably had a name like Chip. I don't know what Australians call themselves. I'm just going with that. I don't know. It really, though, it does blow my mind how stuff like this, like a photo or anything that seems mundane, takes on a life of its own and really captures the public attention for a time. And this is a time when we're not on the internet passing this around. This was just something that, you know, got on the wire and got spread around the planet.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about the Australian. A technician working on the Blue Streak missile project reached out to Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Blue Streak was Britain's contribution to the space race, if you aren't familiar with it. It first launched in 1964 at the Woomera test site in South Australia. The Blue Streak project performed as planned for 11 successful launches. Mm-hmm. I mean, rockets rarely achieve that kind of clean record in the early stages of development.
Or even now.
Back then, or even, yeah, 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 exactly, even now. But here's the kicker. There was one scuttled launch, Brent.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there was.
A goddamn wallaby got on the test range, didn't it?
Not this time.
Oh, it was I don't know.
A dingo?
Drop bear, maybe? Dingo. Dingo Walla. Ate my rocket.
No, the Australian that we were referring to, and I'm going to go with the name Paul. So let's say Paul from the Woomera test site, I made that up, by the way, said that they were about to test the Blue Streak, and he saw two of those figures, those exact figures from the Solway Firth photo at the missile site, and they had to delay the launch because of
Did you guys see two guys in white next to the rocket? What? Shit. you got to think, like, and this really happened, where someone's like, what the fuck is going on? Also of note, that incident happened the same day that Jim snapped the picture, or they happened days apart, depending on which source you believe. But I like to think they happened the same day. So that's what we're going with on Hysteria 51. I put my foot down on the big things.
One thing I'd like to note, I believe that the folks at Woomera were wrong. They thought they were seeing the Solway Firth spaceman. They said there's two of them. It was actually Daft Punk who time traveled to come play.
That actually makes sense. Because everyone knows they go around the world, around the world.
Yes! I set it up and you knocked it down. I'm so proud of you, Brent.
I don't know if pride is what should be thrown at me at that point in time, but keep going. Though, seriously, though, speaking of coming in twos, there was another Blue Streak test site that was just a few miles away from the marsh where Jim snapped this photo.
Which is really interesting, but you scared me with that setup. You really scared me with that setup. I didn't know where you were going, but okay. We're staying on track.
Also of note, robot.
We're not staying on track. All right, but the weirdness didn't stop there, Brent. It did not. True. Jim said that he then got an interesting visit. Two people, they claimed to be government officials.
Yeah. Now, what part of the government did they work for? You didn't ask. Well, I'm glad to tell you anyway. They wouldn't say.
They didn't say.
Nope. Or offer any other further details whatsoever than we come from the government and we're here to talk to you. What were they wearing is a next logical question.
Yeah. I'm assuming board shorts and a tank top.
As all 1960s government officials did, but unfortunately they broke the code. They were dressed like classic men in black. They had the black suits and ties. Now, I didn't hear that they had pale white skin and rosy red lips.
Ruby red lips.
Oh, man, ruby red. Right. That's right. I've just fucked this whole podcast. I quit.
Should we start? All right. Welcome in, Hysteria Nation.
Here's the thing, and here's the next super weird quinky dink that people love to latch on. Jim said they referred to each other by number, not name. And a BBC article from 2014 said that those numbers were what? 9 and 11. Stop at CBOT. That one might actually have been on.
Yeah, couple things to point out here. Obviously, the tie is loosed on this one. It's worth noting the reason we pointed it out. The numbers were reported by the BBC, so it didn't come from the Angel Fire website. But again, even the BBC can only report what they learn or what they're told. Yeah. So garbage in, garbage out.
Wonderful term.
Or a crazy tie. Dun, dun, dun. I suppose.
So what do they want, though? The thing with the men in black, though, is they always come in. They say they work for the government. They won't tell you why. And they're very stern. And this case is no different than all the others that we've talked about. And they asked to be taken to the exact location the picture was taken at. So I hate this term, but I will use it here because I do think it fits. It was a different time. That time, you kind of did trust the governments a little bit more. So if someone came and said that, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll go with you. Now, it's not right after the war when the love affair that people had with military and governments was at all-time high, if you're in the right country.
No, you're right, though. This was 1964 was really pre-loss of innocence. Like,
exactly.
The loss of innocence, which is referred to by so many historians, comes with the assassination of Kennedy and then the litany of other assassinations, whether it be Martin Luther King Jr., RFK, and so on down the line. And then Watergate, all of that came post Solway Firth spaceman.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Kennedy.
You're right. So they said, take us there, and he takes them there. And then explained how he hadn't actually seen the photo. But he hadn't seen the figure when he took the photo. And he said they got pissed and left, and they left him there, and he had to walk all the way home.
I mean, that is not your tax dollars hard at work. You can't even get a ride home.
Which is weird because he usually doesn't stand for baloney.
He won't, you know. He doesn't stand for baloney.
That's thank you, weird science. Also a point, though, Jim says he didn't believe them to be agents at all. He thought they were phonies. Here's a quote from saying, "It all looks like a leg pull to me. I'm sure the men were not security agents." So that's a weird thing to say, but I went ahead and took them anyway.
Yeah.
And they left me.
Though I will say, most of the time in these stories, when someone says, "I don't think they were agents at all," the subsequent statement is, "I think they were aliens, interdimensional travelers, time travelers,"
right?
Not fakes.
And one thing that we talked about in the Men in Black story is this is when that was a hot button. And I wondered if that was something that people did do to cause a ruckus a little bit, was fake being Men in Black, possibly. So, you know, that was one of the things we talked about in that episode and stuff, and this kind of could fit the bill. Or they were legitimate agents and they did their job. He didn't believe it.
Or they're legitimate agents and they're trying to obfuscate who they are.
Exactly.
So they wear that on purpose. Yeah.
Everyone knows a good agent, really any agent worth his salt, can obfuscate with the best of them.
All right, stop it. A lot going on in this picture, kids. Something's going on in the background. It's humanoid. We don't know what it is. But when we come back, we will try to explore.
Yeah, we're going
to
try. That's next on Hysteria 51.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
All right. So, John, here it is. Moments of truth. Moments, because we're not going to just take one. Just cracking my knuckles here. Yeah.
It's a choose your own adventure, as you'd like to say.
What the hell was it? Well, that list is long and distinguished, but the first one I think that we got to talk about is exactly what it looked like. An earthbound spaceman. Just boom.
Right. So,
it's so easy.
It's a space person of the time.
Because calling it a man, even leaving out the gender part, we don't know. It could have been anything.
That's true. Of the time, though, just as somehow, some way, somebody in a full space regalia wandered off site and into Jim's photograph.
Right. You know, and I'll be damned. They didn't see him because who would even notice a man dressed like that walking around until it was too late next to a firth on a marsh. So the next one, and this is a fun one. I think we got to talk about this because of its location and stuff, is one of those damn extraterrestrials, a real honest to goodness alien close to a missile test site. It's close to nuclear power plants. You put two together. What do you get, John? You got a big red X on the marsh right there.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, we already touched on the missile test site that was close to it. Right across the Firth was a nuclear power plant. So, I mean, like the two big, you know, kind of beacons for if you look throughout the history of sightings, extraterrestrial activity.
Right, right. It's I'm surprised they weren't up in the air shutting down power and siphoning up water and all the other shit that you hear in these stories. Now, the next one I actually really like, and it kind of ticks off a few of the boxes, because no one saw this. Jim says he didn't see it. His wife says he didn't see it. Elizabeth didn't see it. It was an interdimensional traveler. And for some reason, Kodak or Jim or his daughter or just the way the wind was blowing the skirts up that day made it able to be seen. Or maybe it wasn't there. It was just a doorway was somehow open and it got a picture into another dimension, or that traveler was there.
Or does Kodak have some technology that we're even unaware of, and they accidentally sold that camera to Jim when really it was meant for the government?
Hey, Greg, where's that Chronovisor I sat here to sell? No, that I sold it to that Jim guy. Shit, we gotta get that back, man.
We got problems. We got major problems.
We got a code 16. Where are the other 15?
Hey, call agents 9 and 11. Get them out there.
We got cleanup duty in the Firth.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, all right. So the next, you mentioned that one was a fun one for you. A fun one for me is the next one, a time traveler. Because think about it. All right. First, the suit doesn't look like space people of the time, spacemen of the time. And if it's a time traveler, and let's just say that Jim is correct in the fact that when he looked around mere milliseconds before pushing that button, there was no figure in the frame.
Yeah.
If that's true, perhaps a time traveler is racing through the eons and takes a quick pause in 1964, whether by hook or by crook, whatever the reason, maybe the time crystal, you know, got a little crack in it, or, you know, whatever, the machine
Ziggy didn't have
break.
The stuff programmed in right for him.
Yeah, exactly. Or so he's there for mere maybe milliseconds, but just enough time to be photographed with the little girl holding the flowers.
Man, I feel like Kovac is oozing in when he's not even here.
He's been channeled. Yeah. So there's no reason to believe that entire story I just wove. I just enjoy it.
There's no reason not to. Prove it wrong.
Prove me wrong. That's right. As a time traveler pops up and is on mic.
Right. Jeez it. So now, though, we've kind of talked about the fun ones, the crazy ones. Get into a little bit of the more meh, but plausible, believable,
right,
or completely false, and we're just poo-pooing on it, however you want to look at it. But one of the things that people have talked about is it was another person out on the marsh that just stepped into the picture. One of the retirees, the pensioners, another person he didn't know was wandering around. And the reason that they say that is kind of possible is the viewfinder on that older Kodak that he was using kills your perception, your view. You only get like 70%
your peripheral vision.
View. Yeah. So there was a whole lot of stuff that he couldn't have seen, including a lot of the stuff that was in the photo. So that is one of the things that people talk about.
The biggest challenge I have with that is I understand how that would preclude you from noticing at that moment. But if somebody else was in the picture, you would know that they were within mere feet of your child.
Right. So that is, if it wasn't the three of them.
Right. If it wasn't one of the three of them. Right. Before the photo, after the photo, you're going to see this extra person somehow being that close.
Would you like to buy some Amway? Get the fuck out of here, man. Like, what are you doing? So then the next one. So let's just, we're going to come back to that other person idea. But the next one is one that we have to talk about. Could have been a fake. And one of the reasons that a lot of people throw that around is Jim was an avid photographer. And depending on who you talk to, some even say that he had created a fake 5-pound note a few weeks before using photography.
Right. So evidence that at least once he had created a fake of something using photography.
Now, there is a big go F yourself on those people, because if you remember, Kodak said, that is a legit photo that has not been tampered with, and we'll pay you if you can, or will reward you if you can prove it wrong.
Well, and along those lines, Brent, another reason people give for this photo existing is it was a mistake. It wasn't a fake or a forgery on purpose, but rather, you know, two photos were somehow double exposed together. Mm-hmm. But the same explanation applies that you just gave. If it was a mistake, if there was somehow something wrong happened in the development process, the chemist screwed up somehow, whatever it is, Kodak, again, they said no. It was legitimate.
Time out. Say what you want about the rocket scientists in the area. Say what you want about Jim, who was an avid photographer. Say what you want about Kodak. Say what you want about the alleged men in black. Don't talk shit about a chemist, because that is someone that they take the job seriously, John.
They do. I mean, you have to breathe those chemicals in all day.
Such a fucking hassle to take and pick up back then. Those people were, they had their finger on the pulse. Or the vein.
Some people love that
say.
Smell, that photo developer smell.
You're going to, like, penis from dick pic. I didn't know what you're going with here, so keep going. That photo developer smell?
Yeah, the liquid they use to develop photos. Some people love that smell, and some people hate it.
A lot of people don't realize this. It's baby blood. Baby blood. That's why they've gone to digital.
Interesting. I was not aware of that. Mm. All right, Brent. Brent, there is... There's one left.
There's the big one, and yeah, this one is one that Jim has fought against for, well, till his he passed away in 2011, I believe it was, but the one that they say, the ruling answer, the most believed, I would say, by people out there, and if you look it up on the skeptic sites, they explain it way very easily.
It was Bigfoot. Oh, wait, no, that's not where you're going. Okay,
it
go
was
ahead.
Jim's wife. Remember, the three of them are there. Now, Jim always argued his wife was definitely behind him when he took the photo. But there's a lot of people that have looked at this photo, and there are other photos of the day. Remember, they took three of them, and Jim's wife had on a dress, and it was blue. But because of that Kodak and where the sun was, it washes it out and makes it very, very white looking. So there's a ufologist named David Clark, and he goes on with this theory about how it was Jim's wife. And here's a quote that he gave BBC that they use in an article. One of the other stills taken that day shows Jim's wife, who, according to him, was standing behind him when he took the photo of Elizabeth. I think for some reason his wife walked into the shot and he didn't see her because of this particular make of camera. You could only see 70% of what was in the shot through the viewfinder. That's something we talked about. Now, regardless, until his death, he never changed his story.
One other thing on that, Brent. You mentioned one of the other photos showed the wife wearing the dress that could easily mm-hmm. be washed out, et cetera. What I could not find in the research I did, maybe you did, and we didn't talk about this before the show. Could you find anywhere a copy of the third photo?
No, I didn't. And the other two are readily available, like, everywhere.
Yeah, it feels like people have mentioned this in the past as if this is part of the conspiracy in some way. Whether it be a benign conspiracy, he faked it and or knows it's his wife, and that third photo kind of helps prove that out, or, you know, a more malevolent conspiracy of we see even more of the spaceman, the time traveler, the whatever, and we learn more, and it you know, that couldn't be circulated.
Right. Well, you know, the thing of it is, we don't have it. I don't, and maybe we're just dominoes right there. Page two of the results. So fuck that. It's lost to the ages. But
correct.
Clark took the photo that we do have that has the spaceman, and he just took he messed with the contrast and just made it a little darker. And you realize when you look at it now, the only thing done to it was they just change like the tinting, you know, the contrast. It looks like his wife standing behind her with her back to her. It looks like her hair, looks like her dress, and it is a very convincing theory that that is what happened. And it was just
now before we give our thoughts, our theories, the one thing I'll say about, because I've said, Brent, you actually sent it to me, the kind of the, here we're gonna use Photoshop to prove out our point mm-hmm. photo. The one thing I'll say negatively towards that, and I'm not saying this happened, is, you know, when you start playing with colors that weren't originally there, or that you can't discern from the actual negative, you know, now you're creating your own story at that point. You know, but you're guessing as to what it was. You are not telling what it was. Now, it's a plausible guess, but it's worth noting that just because you go ahead and project that color and that and how you perceive the elbow to bend and those things of that nature, that's not on the original. That is you
now, do
projecting
remember this,
your
so they
opinion
didn't
on
change
it.
The colors. They just changed the contrast because it's such a washed out photo. But I agree. But we're also talking about, could it have been his wife and she's washed out, or a time traveling spaceman who was in Australia also at the time? And people are like, quit making up your goddamn story. Everyone knows it was Gleek Glack. You know, like, it just seems funny.
Yeah, it's obvious. It was the time traveling spaceman, and no, they didn't need to be in Australia at the same time because that was two of them. It was the other members of the party. Get it right,
that's true.
Brent.
It was a trio, maybe even.
Yeah. Or, they never synchronize the exact moments.
You've never been in an 80s action movie. They always synchronize their watches.
It's true.
Synchronize your watches. I don't know what this means, but okay.
I'm not even going to finish the joke now. You stepped all over it.
I didn't know you were making a joke about synchronizing watches.
Let's go back to the tape. C-Bot?
If it was my name.
All right, Brent, what do you think it was?
I really think it's his wife. Just plain and simple. It's fun to think of what it could be, and I think that Kodak was probably right. There was nothing hanky-panky or tomfoolery going on or any other weird terminology. It was probably just his wife that had stepped into it. And do you notice that the wife never really talked about it? It was just Jim. Neither did his daughter.
Well, I mean, it's the 60s and they're women, so, you know. Could they vote yet? It's a joke. Everybody calm down. Complete joke. I don't mean that.
We do need to end women's suffrage. It is way past time to knock that crap off.
No, you know what, though? Honestly, everyone listening, he wasn't trying to be offensive there. He's so stupid, he doesn't know what the word means. In all seriousness, you are right. You are right that you don't read quotes from her in the research you do. She's probably the smart one of the group that decided to stay quiet about it.
Damn it, like, Jim! Stop talking to the press! I made us dinner. It's got gelatin and a whole bunch of cold meat. It's 1964. Come in here. I'm wearing a dress patterned after what you would eat at a fucking picnic. My hair has so much Aquanet in it, we now have an extra hole in the ozone. It's 1964, Jim, just in case you're forgetting. Jim!
She really got violent there.
Jim! All of our appliances are of a green tint, Jim. There's a goddamn spaceman, but all my appliances are avocado. Jim, I need new plastic for the furniture, Jim. It's 1964, in case you've forgotten since the last time I reminded you. Stop talking to the press! We need to change the points, plugs, and wires in our car. Did you add lead to the gas, Jim? You know, it doesn't like to run without lead. It's 1964, Jim.
Check the fuse box. No, we don't have breakers. It's 1964.
Oh. Is the milkman came yet, Jim? It's 1964. That's the way it went. That's the way I remember it.
You know, people call this podcast a little too history-based and research-based every now and then. They refer to us as Historia 51, and I think that last 60 seconds or so is proof positive that they are right.
Oh, man, I tell ya.
Hey, you didn't ask me what I thought.
You're right, I didn't. So where can they hear about the show, John? Yeah, what is your... No, for real, though. Where are you at on this?
Stack ranked in order. Number one, his wife. Number two, time traveler.
Number one, his wife. Number two, God himself. One or the other. Like,
I mean, it's a coin flip to me. Maybe 51-49,
yeah.
But...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun one. And you know what? No one's getting hurt on this one. That's what's nice. Nothing bad happened.
It is. It is. It's a fun story. It's a fun thing to wonder about. Mm-hmm. And as you said, the conjecture doesn't hurt anyone except for lovers of the year 1964. Nation, if you want to tell us what you think, I would suggest you go to our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Also, while you're logging on to Facebook, jump on Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod and give us a like on there. That is our Facebook page, Hysteria51 at Patreon. That's Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find lots of other episodes, links to Up All Nights and radio dramas, and you can get pictures and pins and stickers and hand-drawn pictures of the
Monster. You spend enough, I bet Brent would send his leftover crickets to you.
Funny you say that. They are going to whoever wins at this point in time when it comes out. It'll have already been announced. Whoever wins the video contest, making the new video out of the one I posted without any audio, and they're going to add.
Oh, no, I meant the crickets that you had just licked the outside of.
Oh, when I just wanted the flavoring, off. But I didn't want to get the,
yeah.
The what is what do they call the drumsticks and shit all over?
The drumsticks, yeah. Oh boy! And by the way, Nation, we haven't done a good job lately of playing voicemails, so we'll get back to that in a few weeks. But if you want to leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. That is 773-669-7277. And I got to tell you, the amount of voicemails we're receiving nowadays. We used to say we'll play anything, and we will play anything, but we're not going to play everything because there's not enough time. Like, we could play them 365 days a year. I don't think we'd get through all of them.
It's hard for us to play when we're in quarantine because of syncing up, and we got to do a mix minus setup and all this stuff, and it's a pain in the butt. So when we are back together, that's when we're going to be playing them and chugging through the massive pile of them. Keep them coming.
Yep. That's it. So keep them coming and bring your A game, or at least bring your C game. Yeah. I think that'd be good enough.
773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And if you forget any of that, gofopedia.com or hysteria51.com. Tell a friend. Tell their friend you love them. And give us some love on IMDb, because they just added Hysteria 51 to IMDb, John. We're on there.
Are we making a movie?
We're making moves. That's what I'm saying.
We're making. Yeah. My future's so bright.
My future's so bright. Shades. I got to take photos of a spaceman. I don't even know what that means, but that's what I'm going to be doing. So, yeah, John.
It's probably a good place.
We're still in quarantine. It's June. That's our life right now. I remember what society.
You sound like you
was.
Need a hug. You sound like you need a hug.
You know what? We're recording. My wife is having, I'm pretty sure, a drink in the backyard. She's not even up here helping out with the show, and I'm a little bit jealous.
Do we have to adjust that that title to like assistant producer, Lisa?
Oh no, she's just not. I mean, who? You know how that goes. I mean. It's 1964.
That's right.
We don't even
exactly.
Have to say thank you. It's just expected.
Yeah, that actually wasn't you guessing as to what his wife Elizabeth sounded like. That was you just mimicking producer Lisa.
Right, exactly. That's exactly like to a T what she sounds like at all times. Except for she has Vienna sausage juice on her fingers or something, you know. But otherwise, exactly the same. So that has been the Soloway Firth Spaceman, or what was the other?
The Cumberland Spaceman.
The Cumberland Spaceman, if you're nasty. That's not as fun of a name. Soloway Firth Spaceman is my go-to for spacemen. So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John Cumberland.
He's been Conspiracy Bob.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.